Matt, I don't want to go for very long. Just want to make one or two points. I had a goal once. And I still have this goal, but I'm not living up to this goal at all. So maybe at some point, maybe it'll be a goal again. I have a life mission statement of my goals that I'd like to accomplish. And one of my goals as an educator is to try as much as possible to live everything that I teach. Whatever it is that I'm teaching, I'm living at that moment. And the reason why I formulated this goal is when I used to give a chabur into a trag when I was in Gross, I used to give one shiur a week. And I worked on it, and I try to make sure to think about it and to live it. So when you give one shiur a week, it's very, very possible. So when you come to give a shiur, your mamash, it's in your veins. The moment you start have to give 10 shiur a week is a little bit more difficult. But what I'm about to present to you, it's not just a shiur, but it's something that I try to live. And every year has its own successes and failures. But just to share with you a piece of machshava, which is a which is a very lemaisa, I personally think, in terms of Purim. Just to start with the Chazal, because the Gemara in Maseches Erevin, Daf Samach Hei Amud Aleph, there's a discussion there about Yayin. And the Gemara says the following, anyone who literally means settles down from their wine, Yeshbo Daz Shivim Skenim, then that person has the wisdom of 70 Skenim. So the Gemara then continues, Yai Nitan B'Shivim Osios, wine was given through 70 letters, which Rashi points as means Gematria of Yai is 70, Yud 10, Yud 10, Nun 50. V'Sod Nitan B'Shivim Osios, and the word Sod is also Gematria of 70. Yain and Sod have the same Gematria. Nichnas Yain Yotze Sod. Wine goes in, Sod goes out. So the question is, what exactly is the Gemara saying? The Gemara is saying anyone who settles down from wine has tremendous wisdom, and nichnas yayin yotze sod. What exactly is going on? So Rashi, seems to be the pshat, l'chora, says the following, yotze sod, v'zeh, and this guy who is able to hold his liquor, hoil v'lo yotze sodo, since the sod did not come out, then he's worthy to be on the Sanhedrin. So the way the Rashi understands the Gemara is the following. If a person loses all control, he doesn't have wisdom. But if a person is able to keep control, and nichnas nayin lo yotze sod, when the wine goes in, the secrets don't start coming out, that guy is worthy to be on the Sanhedrin. Basically, one of the criteria, interesting enough, to be on the Sanhedrin, is that you have to know how to control yourself. So when you don't just lose control after every little thing, nichnas nayin yotze sod, that's bad. But if nichnas nayin lo yotze sod, now you can be sitting on the Sanhedrin. That's what Rashi says. Now, it's interesting. Sfas Emes does not understand it that way, if you could probably imagine. Sfas Emes, the great Ger Rebbe, says the following. He quotes Rashi. V'luli dvarov, and if it wasn't for Rashi, Sfas Emes doesn't want to come out and say he disagrees with Rashi, but says, v'luli dvarov, if it was not for Rashi, I would have said differently. Nirek pshuto, pshat is not like that. Da'ashose b'mida mefakeach. If a person, if a person drinks in the proper amount, he develops and opens up wisdom that's hidden in the heart. And he quotes the Gemara in Horios, Daf Yud Gimel Beis, that wine makes a person wiser. So the question is, what exactly is the Nekudas, Nekudas HaMachlokas exactly, what are the two different elements that are being described over here? On one hand, Rashi is talking about the fact, Nichnas Yain Yotze Sod is a bad thing. When the wine goes in and the secrets go out, that's not good. On the other hand, the Sfas Emes seems to be indicating, when the wine goes in, the secrets go out, that's a good thing. That's what I want to develop today. So Rav Kook has a letter, it's considered one of his most famous letters. Letter Takana. Takana is letter 555. A very, very long letter. Very, 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 very long letter. His son said, maybe even a little too long. But there he discussed a lot of different inyonim. And one of the things that he discusses there is Zgulas HaMisro. as you can imagine, probably Rav Kook does in many places. But letter Takana, very, very famous letter, worthwhile to go through, quite lengthy. So Rav Kook says, when it comes to a Jew, maybe to a non-Jew as well to some degree, but let's focus on Jews right now. There are two elements to a Jew. Maybe I'll give a little bit more of a background and then we'll incorporate what Rav Kook says. When we think about ourselves, I mean, I'm about to say Dvarim Pshutim, but nevertheless, maybe just to spell it out. When we think about ourselves, we think about the external and the internal. The external consists of our body, obviously, and also in terms of our actions. We act in a certain way. That's the external, that's what we present to the world. At the same time, there's an internal world, and the internal world is really composed of two parts as well. Number one, the internal world that we are aware of, the thoughts, the feelings, our emotions, our attitudes. And obviously there's a relationship between our actions, the external world, and our emotions, the internal world. Obviously there's a dual relationship. On one hand, our thoughts and our feelings influence the way that we act. Obviously, if I feel angry, I will lash out at people. So that's where emotions are causing actions. And at the same time, our actions are also are impacting our emotions. Acharei ha-pa'ulos nimshachas ha-levavos. That our actions impact who we are. So that's pashtus. There's our actions that are external, and then there's our emotions, our inner world. But, as any good psychologist knows, that our internal world is also composed of two different elements, and that is what we can call external internal and internal internal. That is, there's an internal world that we are aware of. I feel angry. I'm aware of that. If you were to ask me, how do you feel? I'll say, I feel angry, and therefore I act out of my anger. But then there are hidden elements of that, because if someone to ask you, why are you angry? So I say, because Menachem Rimler stepped on my foot. Okay, he stepped on my foot, therefore I'm angry. But if I really think about it, if I try to unwrap that feeling, if I try to break it apart, that's not really why I'm angry. Really why I'm angry, because I have a certain equation in my head that states, I am entitled to be free of pain. I am entitled to be free of pain. And anyone who violates my right to be free of pain is a terrible person and obviously did it on purpose. Now, if you were to ask me whether I think that, I am not aware of that thought. But that's the thought that's driving my anger towards the person who has hurt me. So, and I'm just, it's a very simple example that our internal world is composed of two components. It's something that we're aware of, and then there are thoughts and feelings and drives we're not even aware of. So these are dvarim pshutim that any psychologist will tell you. There's the external world, there's an internal external world, and an external internal, and an internal internal. Okay? This is what Rav Kook refers to as pnimiyut habechiri. Pnimiyut habechiri means something that we can choose, something that we're aware of, something we can manipulate, something that we can work on, something that we're aware of. It's called pnimiyut habechiri. Says Rav Kook that besides these three components, there's actually another component. And that's something called pnimiyut hasguli, from the word sgula. And that is, a neshama comes from a very, very high place. And it is a given, the way Rav Kook says it, it stems from a b'chin of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, v'hu amar v'yihi. HaKadosh Baruch created something, and it is that way. It doesn't matter what happens. It cannot be corrupted. Nefesh HaChaim discussed there are parts of neshama can never be corrupted. It doesn't matter what the person does. A person can be distanced from it, but the person can never corrupt it. But there is a part of ourselves which is very, very deep and very profound. Says Rav Kook in this letter, Takana, we're often not aware of this part of ourselves, but at times that if we are acting properly and with Siyata Deshmaya, we're able to tap into that higher part and to create a connection, bring down and become aware of part of that high part of ourselves. So, Bekitsur, we have these components. It's external, there's an internal, and there's what was maybe called super internal. Now, we have to understand how these different parts of ourselves relate to our Avodas Hashem. And there was once a sculptor who said that when I look at a stone, I don't create a sculpture. The sculpture is already there, and my job is to pull away the extras in order to discover the statue which is already there. We know, Chazal tell us, that a child learns all of the Torah before they come to the world, and then they forget the Torah. And the goal that we have is to not learn new Torah, but really discover the Torah that we've already learned. So the purpose of Torah, you know, it sounds very difficult, but when a person is learning a sugya on Daf Nun Hem with Aleph and Maseches Pesachim, the goal is not just to get some kind of information outside in, but to really discover, and this is obviously very difficult, it's easier how to do that with Machshava, but ultimately with Gemara, it's also, that's the goal. A person has to discover parts of oneself. That's really what it's about, to rediscover and reclaim Chalakim of the Torah that were really shaykh to me in the first place. Yeah, the Ari writes about this, many write about this as well, that the goal of Talmud Torah is rediscovery rather than acquisition from outside inside. Sefer Chovos HaLevavos also gives a mashal that you have you're digging in the dirt and you pull out a tray and it looks very dirty, but it's made out of metal. You start polishing it, and you polish it and polish it and polish it, and then you discover that you have a beautiful silver tray. It says Sefer Chovos HaLevavos exactly what we're trying to do. Our goal is to polish. It's all there. We're not trying to add anything new. It's all there. It just, there has to be a process of refinement and purification that brings out which is already there. Which is also a chazal that tells us that HaKadosh Baruch created a special light only for tzaddikim, it was hidden. And at some point that light is going to come out. It's already there. It just has to be revealed in the proper time, in the proper way. Now, when we do our Avodas Hashem, what happens is the following. And that is, we're trying to build our pnimius. We're trying to build, and really, Chazal tell us that the ikar part of Avodas Hashem is not just the action, but it's the building of the pnimius. And ultimately, all the actions stem really from attitudes in the inner world. If a person's world is good, inner world is good, the outer world will also be good. And the reason why, and this is the big yisod in cognitive psychology, this is a very big yisod, we act only based on thoughts and feelings. And if we change bad thoughts, we'll change bad actions. If we try to change bad actions without changing the bad thoughts, it's a temporary solution. It's all in our heads. And once we're able to fix the way that we think and the way that we feel, we'll automatically change the way that we act. So there's a tremendous focus where we're trying to build our Avodas Hashem, and we're building and we're changing attitudes, and we're trying to fix ourselves internally. And we're digging channels. When I was living in the Soviet Union, one of my jobs when I turned 4 or 5 was two things. One was to stand in line for milk, early in the morning sometimes, stand in line for milk. And my job was to get water. Now, it wasn't such a farm, but the water in the tap was fine. But near our house, there was a very big... big, I don't know how to describe it. It was a huge hole in the ground, but it wasn't a hole in the ground. It was humongous. It was like a crater. And down in the crater, there was a very, very delicious spring. It was very cold. I remember having to schlep from my house to the spring, going all the way down, very, very deep inside. And very deep below, there was a spring with very clean, delicious, pure water. And I used to bring these two huge containers, like gasoline containers, plastic ones. I used to schlep out there and I used to fill them up and bring this delicious water back to my house. So it was written in my mind, this process of going deep, deep down inside the crater and to draw this delicious water. And in a certain way, that's really what we're trying to accomplish. We're trying to build up our inner world, world of our feelings and thoughts and emotions, and we're trying to dig deep into that, what Rav Kook describes as pnimiut zguli, trying to tap into higher elements of ourselves and to connect that pnimius, the lower pnimius, to the higher pnimius, and we're trying to bring out the deep recesses of who we really are. That's what we're trying to do. The problem with that is, as much as work as we do, sometimes it remains inside and we're not able to bring out. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu created different mechanisms that allow us to bring out that which we have inside, which, by the way, is really part of a much greater picture. Chazal tell us the way that creation worked, that first HaKadosh Baruch Hu created various different parts of creation, and only then he brought them out. It's an interesting thing. It's a process where first there's creation that's hidden, and then there's a certain revelation of that creation. So when it comes to our sense of self, it works the same way. We build ourselves up, but it sometimes remains internal. And then there has to be a process of bringing it out. And this is exactly where Yain comes in. The Mishnah in Avos Rabbi Nosson tells us the following. That a person can be known in one of three ways. Kiso, koso, vakaso. Kiso When you ask a person for tzedakah, a person can talk about tzedakah all they want, but when you ask them, you get to see if they really are as charitable as they claim. Kaso, you get a person angry, and you get to see who the person really is. And koso, yain. Yain is an agent that reveals that which is hidden. Wine does not make a person do anything they don't want to do. A person who's drunk does not do anything they don't want to do. Except you have to define what does it mean, want. Meaning, when we internally want to do something, we learn at a very young age that we can't just do whatever we want, because when we do that, we get punished. So we know if we want a piece of cake and we take it, then we're going to get punished unless we ask permission. So we know very, very early on that what we want, we can't act upon. So there's a filter that says, think about it. Do you really want to do this? I mean, you want to do this. Of course you want to do this. But is it really worthwhile to do? There's a filter. What the yayin does is it removes that filter. And it allows that which is inside of us, the pnimius, not the deepest pnimius, but the lower pnimius, to just come out. That's what wine does. Wine does not let us do anything we don't want to do. People only act. I'm not talking about people who are unconscious. I'm saying people who are conscious never do anything they don't want to do. If they do it, it means they wanted to do it. It's just they held themselves back because the price they would have to pay by acting upon what they wanted to do would be too high, and they chose not to do it. Wine removes that filter, and the person simply allows the panemius to come out. Now, on a higher level, it's a very, very profound thing. And this is where the mitzvah of drinking on Purim comes out. There are times we build ourselves up and we work very hard, and the fruits of our labor are not obvious because they're inside. We don't see them. Nichnas yayin yotze sod means that I allow deeper parts of myself that have not been successful in bringing out, I allow them to come out. I'm tapping into something much deeper, and I'm allowing it to become a part of my reality. No longer is it theoretical, but it's practical. I'm acting it. I'm living it. A person, he just couldn't get himself to daven that Shmoneh Esrei that he wanted to. On Purim, he's able to get himself to daven that Shmoneh Esrei. A person was not able to feel something. He was too scared. There were kochos that were holding the person back. The person can feel it. The person was afraid to say certain things. A person was afraid to face certain things. A person was afraid to commit to certain things. All of a sudden comes the wine, removes that filter, and the pneumius comes out, and it's no longer theoretical. Now it is practical. Now it's a real thing. It becomes facts on the ground. And when the wine goes away, the facts on the ground stay. That is the notion of Nichnas Yayin Yotze Sod, and this is the avoda of Purim, of Nichnas Yayin Yotze Sod, Chayv Adam Lav Sumei Bapuria. A person's obligated Lav Sumei Bapuria. By the way, it's interesting. What does Lav Sumei mean? People think Lav Sumei means to get drunk. It does mean that. But Lav Sumei comes from the word Bosem. Bosem means spice. The literal translation of Chayv Adam Lav Sumei Bapuria means a person should get spiced up on Purim. What that means is exactly the point we mentioned before. When a person drinks, and the way the Sfasema says, appropriately, in the right time, in the right place, with the proper preparation, which we'll mention shortly, then the person spices oneself up. The person becomes a better person. So that's what Yain does. Yain digs in deep and brings out that which has been hidden. I mentioned in a share before, I remember seeing once a movie many, many, many years ago. It was some, I forgot, Portuguese movie, German movie, I don't know. It's interesting. I was in the Chala for Shabbos in Lavi. And my son, who is 2 years old, he doesn't really know what a TV is. So he came up to the TV and looks interesting. On Shabbos, he pressed the button. And I was wondering what kind of interesting message I'm sending to the 140 Michala girls who are passing by my room in Kibbutz Lavi and hearing Portuguese television being played. My kamashmalon, But so I remember seeing some international movie. There were entrepreneurs who were looking for oil. They were looking for oil. They wanted to become multimillionaires because they were looking for oil. So they went and they dug here, they dug here, they dug here. At some point they dug, and all of a sudden this black liquid starts splooshing up. And they're so excited, they're hugging and they're dancing, they're excited, and all of a sudden, one guy smells his hand. Oh, they hit a sewage pipe. They hit a sewage pipe. All the sewage was covering everything and everyone. So that's exactly what yayin is. Yayin is the drill. It drills down. What comes out, it really depends on where you're drilling. If you drill in the right place, oil comes out. If you drill in the wrong place, sewage comes out. And I'll tell you something. Sewage underground is one thing. But the moment that sewage comes onto the surface, it becomes a different story altogether. Because now it's everyone is dirty. Now it's everyone is dirty. There's a famous Russian joke, which is completely not funny to Americans, because you never lived in Russia. But there was a certain circus entertainer. So he's talking to his buddies, and they said, what's going to be your next act in the circus? He says, I'll tell you what the next act's going to be. I'm going to have a huge bag of sewage explode and cover the whole audience. And then I'm going to walk out in a white tuxedo. Now, this doesn't sound funny to you, but if you live in Russia and you know about the government who splashes people with garbage and walk out with a white tuxedo, so it's a sad funny joke, but it's one of these things that's lost in translation. But when you're sitting in sewage, it's a different story, because sewage underground, okay, maybe it's not so nice, it's not so pleasant, it's underground. But the moment you bring the sewage out and you're covered with sewage, it becomes a different story altogether. When there's negative thoughts or feelings there that are bad, that are wrong, that are within ourselves, that's one thing. The moment that they're brought out, they become a part of our reality. And they become not just some hidden thoughts, they become real thoughts. So when a person drinks inappropriately, when a person brings out inappropriate things, then they have to live with that element that they brought out. And he can't put the genie back into the bottle. It becomes part of reality. The person did it. The person said it. The person acted upon it. The person had committed. So it's a double-edged sword. It all depends what exactly it is that we're trying to actually bring out into the surface. Medrash Tanchuma writes that, it's a beautiful Medrash Tanchuma, says that when Noach wanted to plant the vineyard right after he came out of the Teva, Sultan asked if he could participate in the affair. And then Noach led him. So the Sultan shechted on top of the grapevine a lamb, a lion, a pig, and a monkey. And he put the blood onto the grapevine. Says Medrash Tanchuma, he says that's exactly what happens when a person drinks. At first, a person comes, they're as tame as a sheep. They drink a little bit, they become like a lion. And then they become disgusting, like a pig, roll around one's own urine, says the Medrash. And then the next stage is to become an idiot like a monkey. That's what wine does. So that's the choice. That's really the choice. It's an interesting thing. In both cases, wine does the same thing. All wine does is removes the blockage and digs deep into the recesses of our psyche and simply brings out what's there. That's all that wine does. That no more and no less. The question is, what exactly are we digging? What exactly are we bringing out? And l'cha'ora, that's the machlokas here, quote unquote. It's not really a machlokas. It's Sveidinim over here, between Rashi and the Svasevas. Rashi is discussing a case when a person is digging inappropriately. It's inappropriate, and bad things are brought out. Nichnasan yotze sod, the sod, it's a bad sod that comes out. It's a sod that really should stay down. And the Svasevas is discussing a situation in which a person is digging in the right place and bringing out the right things. Now, the obvious question is, what does it mean to dig in the right place? These are Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi writes, now it's this against the Bavli. The Bavli writes, the reason why Purim doesn't fall out on Shabbos, or at least we don't read the Megillah on Shabbos, is because we're afraid that a person is going to carry the Megillah on Shabbos. The Yerushalmi writes, he gives a different reason, a very interesting reason. He says that Shabbos creates its own simcha, and Purim, we are obligated to make our own simcha. So since Shabbos has a certain level of simcha, whatever that simcha is, on Purim, we have to be proactively creating simcha. So Purim, by definition, is a chag that's created. It's a chag that we have to work on. The success of our Purim very, very much depends on who we are and how much we prepare. If we prepare properly, then the Purim is amazing. Purim is such an incredible thing. And we can reach madregas that we cannot reach all year long. It's an interesting thing that Yehudi HaKadosh, the great Hasidic master, says that there's Yom Kippur and there's Purim. Yom Kippur is compared to a piece of gold wrapped in garbage, and you shave away at the garbage, but inevitably you take away some of the gold with it, and you have to throw in the garbage. Purim is removing that dirt from the garbage and reclaiming that gold back. When a person begins to work on himself, inevitably he has to sacrifice part of his own personality. A person loves basketball, okay? Loves basketball. I remember summers, I was a big masmid, 8 hours at least. That's on an off day. 10, 12 hours all day. Inevitably, it can't be any other way. Because when you're completely given over to one thing, it means it's to exclusion. It's the laws of economics. It's the exclusion of everything else. So inevitably, when a person starts working on oneself, inevitably they lose a part of themselves. Inevitably, it cannot be in any other way. Because the moment you open yourself up to something else and you want to work on yourself, inevitably you have to be ready to lose a part of yourself. It cannot be in any other way. You have to give up this, you have to give up this, you have to give up, it cannot be any other way. The whole purpose of Purim is to say, I'm unwilling to lose any part of myself. And I, whatever those parts of myself that were good, not the bad, but the good, I'm going to try to reclaim. And I'm going to reach a madrega, and I'm going to strive towards madrega, where I get to reclaim everything that I ever lost. And it's a big avoda. It's a very big avoda. But that's what the goal is. The goal is to reclaim everything. In order to practically achieve this, and I tell you the truth, I don't like practical things, but in teaching, I don't like saying, do this, do that, don't this, because I find it to be a very, very personal thing, but maybe just general hadracha that I personally find very helpful for myself to really gain from the Purim that I have. Purim needs preparation. You have to ask yourself, what do you want to gain out of your Purim? And in order to answer that question, you have to think about your whole year. But if you look at the Sefarim, in many ways, Purim is a culmination of all the Chagim. And in some ways, that is the last Chag. That is the last Chag, and in some ways, it includes all the other Chagim together. What have you accomplished this year? What have we grown on? What is it that inside of me that I want to bring out? What am I struggling with? I always daven Vasikin on Purim. I always go to the mikvah before Vasikin on Purim. I learn a piece that I choose that I'm trying to make as part of my Avodas Hashem on Purim. I try to make sure that I do the mitzvahs and I put in the learning and I prepare. I try to make sure that I physically don't get sick. I make sure that I eat and I drink responsibly. And I try to write down for myself different things I want to focus on during my Seuda. And when I work on those things and I'm responsible spiritually and physically, Purim is the greatest day of the year for me in terms of Avodas Hashem. It is the greatest. I'm able to reach states and thoughts and feelings and experiences that are unlike anything else that happens during the year. But in order for that to happen, there has to be a preparation. There has to be the right spot. There has to be digging. There has to be tshuva. I try to very, very, very much to do tshuva during the day before the Seuda. Because I know if I don't do tshuva and if I don't prepare myself, then I'm going to hit sewage. I'm going to hit sewage. So that's my nakuda that I would like to say, that I very much encourage you. It's an experience that's so incredibly amazing, or it could be incredibly terrible. And this year is going to be the same thing, because every year it's the same. There's going to be that one guy who's going to have a terrible Purim, and it's going to bring out the worst in this guy. And there are going to be guys who are going to be reaching very, very high madrigas. But in order for that to happen, in order to maximize, the person has to prepare properly. If there's a question or two, I'll take it. But otherwise, I really don't have anything else to say. Yeah.
The medrash with the satan and Noah.
Yeah.
You're saying the highest level of the sheep or the lion?
It's a good question. It's a good question. I don't know. Yeah.
How do you drill in the right place?
What?
How do you drill in the right place?
You have to. So you have to prepare yourself. You have to learn. You have to have a proper morning and afternoon. You have to learn, you have to do tshuva, you have to think about who you are, you have to think about what you're going to be focusing on in the Suda. The Piyasetzner Rebbe writes that Aleph Beis Avodas Hashem is to know what I need. What do I need from Avodas Hashem? The person has to focus. What do I need? Who am I? What parts of myself? Every Avodas Hashem realizes that there's a part of themselves that's not yet revealed, that they want to reveal it. And everyone should become aware of that part. And if a person concentrates on all that, then, and a person is in the right environment, then great things happen. Great things happen. It's a skill that has to be learned. It has to be learned. I just want to also just mention one thing. Bilam, when he doesn't find inspiration, when he's not successful in cursing the Jewish people, he moves on to a different place. Every single time it doesn't work, he moves on to a different place. Avraham Avinu davens for Sodom. His tefillah is not answered, and he davens in the same morning again. And that's the difference between Bilam and Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu, it doesn't work, he tries again. So I build up this whole thing, and I beg Hashem, everyone who wants to experience this will be able to. But sometimes it doesn't happen. So sometimes the person has to work and work again. That's number one. Number two, as Rabbi David already points out every single year, halachically speaking, drinking on Purim is a machlokas haposkim. And there's yesh tzad lekan, yesh tzad lekan. And if a person thinks that they will not gain, I heard a story about one of the Gedol Yisrael who does not drink on Purim. And he was asked why he does not drink on Purim. And he said, because one time I saw my Rebbe drink on Purim. And he drank, he was so drunk. And you know what he did? He spoke Divrei Torah all day and all night. And if I could be sure that I would do that, I too would drink on Purim. But I'm not sure about that. Therefore, I do not. Okay. If a person's not sure, it's maybe better not. But hopefully with the right preparation and with the right kavanas, a person can be in a good place. But if a person thinks that's not their avoda, then the person should not. Okay. Thank you so much. Thank you.